he's enthroned on his saints. And as one of the liturgical prayers says in Divine Liturgy, you are the one who finds rest on the saints. These are the same words that Christ spoke in the Gospel when he said, we will go to him and will make a room. We, the three persons of the Holy Trinity, will come and we will live inside the faithful person. Therefore, my friends, the throne of God are the faithful people, the people of faith. If I'm faithful, I become the throne of God. If you're faithful, you become the throne of God. Do we fully understand this? But I don't need to go too far. Didn't the Theotokos become the throne of the Son of God? Didn't she hold inside her the very Son of God? So she's a throne, but we're also a throne. We're also Theotokos, my friends. The Virgin Mary was not the only Theotokos. We're also Theotokos. And how is this? Because we also give birth to God the Word, and he incarnates in our heart. When I receive him with my mouth, when I receive the body and blood of Christ, what do I do? Don't I enthrone Christ inside of me? Don't I become his throne? Saint Cyril of Jerusalem says this very thing very beautifully. You place your right palm on top of the left in such a way that you will be forming a cross, but also in such a way that your two palms will be forming a throne to receive the host. So we take the host, or the body of Christ, and we do this by placing our right hand over the left. We place the left hand underneath the right hand, forming a throne with our two hands. And after this, I receive Christ and eat him, and he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Listen to this powerful verb. I eat. By eating Christ, my entire being becomes the throne of Christ. Did you ever suspect all these awesome things? Do you get the feeling of what it means to be a Christian and what it means to live the mystical and sacramental life of the Church? And if you take into account that God the Word, who became man, is the Lord of the heavens. My God, the Lord of the heavens, the Lord of the angels, the Lord of all. My goodness, how can the human mind grasp all this? And I, the pauper, the mere particle of creation, I become the throne of God. How great is the condescension of God's love. And he who sat on the throne was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. So who was sitting on the throne? God the Father. However, John does not name him. Saint John says nothing. He only says the one who was sitting there. You know, Saint Andrew, the interpreter of the Revelations, points out, previously, John was able to describe the vision of the Son who spoke to him. I heard a voice and turned around, and I saw one like a son of man, clothed in a garment all the way to his feet, and in his hands he had seven stars. He was walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. His hair was white, and so on. John gave us a full description in the first chapter of this book. But here, there's no description whatsoever. What can he describe about the Father? The Son became man, so he can be described by Saint John. But what can he describe about the Father? He is indescribable. So instead of a description, he uses precious stones. He says he was like jasper, like an emerald, attempting to show some of the attributes of the one sitting on the throne by using these colors of these precious stones. Saint John does very well by avoiding to describe God, since the prophets of the Old Testament avoid this description, being that he is the invisible and the ineffable God. It is also significant that he avoids to name him. He does not say God. does not say the Lord, but the one sitting. Nothing else. The one sitting. And in attempting to symbolically describe him, he uses the brightest objects existing at that time, and those were the precious stones, and the colors of these precious stones are the suggestive, are suggestive of the different characteristics of God, the different characteristics of the one sitting. I must tell you, however, that the names of the precious stones of those days do not necessarily correspond to the same stones today. And jasper is most likely today's diamond. The white diamond in its pure form and not the colored or modified diamond. So the jasper, which is most like a diamond, symbolizes the purity and holiness of God. The sardius stone, a precious stone, produced its mine in the area of Sardis, and its color was red, symbolizing the righteous punishment, because God is holy but also righteous. The rainbow is a sign of God's goodwill towards men, regardless of the magnitude of their sins. Because after the flood, God said, I will place my rainbow above the rain, and this is a sign of God's promise. God says that I will never destroy the world by a flood. No matter how much they sin, which means that the rainbow that we take for granted, it is so common after thunderstorms, this rainbow is a sign or a symbol of God. It's a sign of God's benevolence. God is benevolent towards his people. No matter what they do, he is ready to forgive them as long as they ask for this. Again, it is noteworthy that the one sitting is likened to precious stones, and rightly so. The prophets Ezekiel and other prophets talk about the likeness of God's glory and not about the likeness of God. For you to understand this better, let's take the sun. The sun rays reach my home. However, I don't have the sun inside my home. I only have its rays, the energy of the sun. And what I see in reality is an image and not necessarily the rays themselves. Now, the prophets, along the same lines, do not see the energies of God, but the image of the energies of God. Not the energies themselves, but the image of God's glory. So John is so precise in using these images in his description, like a jasper, like a sardius stone, appearing like an emerald, like this or like that. John doesn't say it was like that, but it somehow appeared to be like that. And this to show the inability to describe the divine. My friends, the divine cannot be described. Not even the energies of God can be described. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. What an awesome vision! Around the throne of the one sitting, I saw another 24 thrones. Naturally, these were not as bright as the central throne. And on these 24 thrones, I saw the 24 presbyters, the 24 elders, as the translation says. And these were also sitting, and they were clothed in white robes, and on their heads they were wearing golden wreaths or crowns. Truly a great spectacle, an awesome vision. But here we could say indirectly, based on the image described to us by John the Evangelist, that God does not alienate himself from his creation. He does not stay isolated from the work of his hands. He does not keep to himself having the internal communion of his three persons. Not so. God communes with his creations. When he is on his throne and all around him are the 24 elders, these 24 elders are human beings, people. They are people. This indicates that God is in constant communion with his creations. This fact alone would be sufficient to generate an infinite glory for God. God, who is outside of all creation, the substance of God is outside of his creation. God communes with his creation because he loves the work of his hands, his creation. And who are the 24 elders? Who are these 24 presbyters? The triumphant church of the righteous and the saints upon whom God rests. Their number, as I mentioned earlier, is expressed with the article the elders. He says, I saw the 24 elders sitting. He does not say, I saw 24 elders, but I saw the elders. Now, why this article? This is done for specificity, like they were known. What do we mean by known? Certainly, my friends, the article adds a great meaning. It shows, number one, these 24 elders are known to God. God knows all those who belong to him, always. No matter where they hide you, even if they squeeze you in some storage room, in some basement, when people want to make you invisible and totally insignificant by disregarding you and discarding you, God watches you. He knows you. He singles you out. You are his. Don't worry. What a great consolation this can be. God knows me. I am his. He knows me. Second, these presbyters are known to John. How are they known to John? The saints are known to one another. Saint John was on earth, but this did not matter in the least. The saints know each other. I will only make reference to the Lord's transfiguration when John, Peter, and James saw Moses and Elijah. And Apostle Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. It is so great here. This is the place to be. Let's prepare three tents, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. How did he know them? Where did he see Moses and Elijah? Moses lived 1,500 years before Peter, and Elijah 900 years before. Where did he see them? The saints know each other. This is the reason why John did not say, I saw some elders, but I saw the elders. I saw the saints, the church triumphant. From Abel up to the moment of that vision, the martyrs, the saints, the choir of the saints who are represented by these 24 elders, they know each other. Now, when he says that they were men, let's pay attention to this. This statement does not exclude the presence of women in heaven, in God's kingdom, but because the entire vision, the entire plan is facilitated by the presence of the 24 elders, that's why he uses men. However, women are certainly not excluded from the kingdom of God. These are presbyters, and in Greek, this can mean older people, or mature people, spiritually mature. The term elders signifies spiritual maturity. The saints have spiritual maturity. They're 24 or 12 times 2, a conventional or schematic number. 12 times 2, or as we will see in some following chapters, 12 times 12,000, which gives the number 144,000. All these being symbolic or schematic numbers showing the great crowd of the saints. So 24 is 2 times 12. To the Pythagorean school of thought, this 2 times 12, or the number 24, always meant the totality of heaven. Consequently, all the stars of the heavens. Therefore, the 24 elders means all the saints of heaven. The white robes are the symbol of purity and holiness. The gold crowns symbolizes their victory against evil, but also because the saints belong to the royal priesthood. They wear crowns, but crowns are worn by royalty, the king. Consequently, this shows that the saints consist of the royal priesthood. In this book, in the first chapter, verse 6, John tells us and he made us a kingdom, priests unto God and his Father. He made us kings and priests. It was the Old Testament, and the New Testament says, we are the royal priesthood. These are the faithful. This goes along with the promise of Christ to his disciples that they will sit on 12 thrones of glory. But this holds true for every faithful, every true believer. Remember what he said on the previous epistle to the Bishop of Laodicea. He who overcomes the victorious, anyone who becomes victorious, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne. Please pay attention to this point. The 24 elders were sitting. They were not standing. They were sitting. At some moment, they will stand up. We will see this during our journey through the subject. They were sitting, which means the rest that awaits the saints in the kingdom of God. This book of the Revelation, in the 14 chapters, 14 chapter, verse 13 writes, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. Their good deeds. Therefore, the saints sit on the thrones. This means the rest found in the kingdom of God. The positions of the sitting elders is around the throne, as the evangelist says. Around the throne. What does around the throne mean? Well, John is watching the entire scene unravel in front of him, so this cannot be an exact circle, but half a circle, because to be able to see the central throne of the Lord sitting, he needed to have the front of the circle open and unoccupied to have the full view of the central throne. So this is most likely half a circle. The elders are on the left and on the right of the central throne, allowing an opening in the front for John to see this entire scene. This is a most beautiful and most characteristic image of divine worship, if you will, of the divine liturgy. This reminds of the synthronon found in the ancient churches. The synthronon was the bishop's throne on the back of the holy altar. And in the center was the bishop. And we see this in the church of the island of Paros in Greece, called the Church of 100 Gates. The synthronon, or shared throne, was behind the holy altar with steps like the bleachers of a stadium. The bishop was in the center, and the presbyters were around the altar. But the bishop was in a typology of Christ, and the presbyters were representing God's people. This is quite profound. And something more. What is the church? The faithful around the holy altar, which is a symbol of the throne of the slain Lamb. In closing, the faithful, the 24 elders, the saints are around the throne of the Lord. But we also, when we gather around the holy altar, nowadays we don't have it in the center, but towards the far end of the church, and we may not be physically around it, but mystically and noetically, essentially, however, we're around this holy altar. We encircle the holy altar since we are co-seekers of this divine supper and wishing to be partakers of the plenteous fatted calf on top of this holy table, which is the body and blood of Christ. This entire spectrum, this entire image, my friends, of the one sitting on a throne and the 24 elders sitting on thrones shows the most profound mystery of God's love and his communion with his creation.
Της αποπεράτων έως περάτων της Οικουμένης και ειρήνευσον αυτήν, ειν περιεποιήσω το τιμίο αίματι του Χριστού σου και των Άγιων οίκων τούτων στερέωσον μέχρι τη συντελείας του αιώνα. Μνήστε, Κύριε, τον τα δώρασι ταύτα προσκομισάντων και υπερών και διών και εφής αυτά προσεκόμισαν. Μνήστε, Κύριε, τον καρποφορούντων και καλλιεργούντων εν τες Αγίας σου Εκκλησίες και μεμνημένων των πενήτων. Άμυψε αυτούς της πλουσίης σου και επουρανή της χαρίσμαση. Χάρισε αυτής αντί των επιγείων τα επουράνια, αντί των προσκέρων τα αιώνια, αντί των φθαρτών τα άφθαρτα. Μνήσθητη, Κύριε, των εν ερημίες και όρεση και σφυλαίοι και τε σοφές τη ηθής. Μνήσθητη, Κύριε, των εν παρθενία και ευλαβία και ασκήση και σεμνή πολιτεία διαγόντων. Μνήσθητη, Κύριε, πάσης αρχής και εξουσίας τους αγαθούς και εν τη αγαθότητή σου διατήρησον, τους πονηρούς αγαθούς ποιήσον εν τη Χριστότητή σου. Μνήσθητη, Κύριε, του περιεστώτος λαού και των διευλόγους αιτίας απορριφθέντων και ελέησον αυτούς και ημάς κατά το πλήθος του ελέου σου. Τα ταμεία αυτών έμπλησον παντός αγαθού, τα συζυγίες αυτών εν ειρήνη και ομονία διατήρησον, τα νήπια έκτρεψον, την νεότητα παιδαγώγησον, το γύρας περικράτησον, τους ολιγοψύχους παραμύθησε, τους εσκορπισμένους συνάγαγε, τους πεπλανημένους επανάγαγε και σύναψον τη Αγία Σου Καθολική και Αποστολική Εκκλησία. Τους οχλουμένους υποπνευμάτων ακαθάρτων ελευθέρωσαν, τις πλέωσεις σύμπλευσαν, τις οδηπορούσεις συνόδευσαν, χειρών πρόσθετη, ορφανών υπεράσπισαν, εχμαλώτους ρίσαν, νοσούντας ίεσαι, τον ενβήμαση και μετάλλης και εξορίες και πικρές δουλείες και πάση θλίψη και ανάγκη και περιστάσιών των μνημόνευσαν ο Θεός και πάντων των δεωμένων της μεγάλης ευσπλαχνίας και των αγαπώντων ημάς και των μισούντων και των ενδυλαμμένων ημίν της εναξίης εύχεστε υπέρ αυτών και παντός του λαού σου. Μνήστη, Κύριε ο Θεός ημών, και επί πάντας έκχαιον το πλούσιον σου έλεος, πάση παρέχον τα προστοτηρίαν αιτήματα. Και όν εμείς ούκαι μνημονεύσαμε, διάγνιαν ηλίθιν ή πλήθος ονομάτων, αυτός μνημόνευσαν ο Θεός, ο ειδός εκάστου την ηλικία και την προσυγχωρία, ο ειδός έκαστον εκκυλίας μητρός αυτού. Σίγαρη, Κύριε, η βοήθεια των αβοηθήτων, η ελπίς των απελπισμένων, ο των χυμαζομένων σωτήρ, ο των πλεόντων λιμήν, ο των νοσούντων ιατρός. Αυτός της πάση τα πάντα γεννού, ο ειδός έκαστον και το αίτημα αυτού, οίκον και την κρύαν αυτού. Ρίσε, Κύριε, την ιεράν μονήν ταύτην και πάσαν μονήν και πάσαν πόλην και χώραν από λοιμού, λοιμού, σεισμού, καταποντισμού, πυρός, μαχαίρας, επιδρομής αλλοφύλων και εμφυλίου πολέμου.
Και ον έκαστος κατά διάνοια και πάντων και πασών.
Μνήσθητη, Κύριε, τον ουρανό φάντορα του Χριστού, μίστην του Δεσπότου, τον φωστήρα, τον φαΐνον, τον Σαρίας και Καπαδόκων χώρας βασιλείων των μέγαν πάντες τιμήσω.
Yeah.
εξατομούντων των λόγων της εισαγητίας, μίστη Κύριε κατά το πλήθος των εκτιρμών σου και της εμείς αναξιότητος. Συγχώρησόν μη, παν πλημέλη με εκουσιόντε και ακούσιον, και μη διατας εμάς αμαρτίας κολλήσεις την χάρη του Αγίου σου Πνεύματος από των προκειμένων δώρων. Μνήστε Κύριε του Πρεσβυτερίου της εν Χριστώ Διακονίας και παντός ιερατικού τάγματος, και μηδένα ημών κατεσχήμη των κυκλούντων το Άγιον σου θυσιαστήριο. Επίσκεψε ημάς εν τη Χριστότητή σου Κύριε, επιφάνηθη ημίν εν της πλουσίης σου εκτιρμής, ευκράτους και εποφελείς τους αέρας ημίν χάρισε, όμβρους ειρηνικούς τη γη προς καρποφορίαν δόρισε, ευλόγησον τον Στέφανον του εν εαυτού της Χριστότητός σου, πάψον τα σχίσματα των εκκλησιών, σβέσον τα φριάγματα των εθνών, τα στον αιρέσεων επαναστάσεις, ταχαίως κατάλυσον τη δυνάμη του Αγίου σου Πνεύματος. Πάντας ημάς πρόσδεξε στην Βασιλεία σου, Υιούς Φωτός και Υιούς ημέρας αναδείξας, την συν ειρήνη και την συν αγάπη, χάρισε ημίν Κύριε ο Θεός ημών, πάντα γαραπέδοκας ημίν. Και δώσει μην έναν ιστόματι και μια καρδία δοξάζει και ανυμνεί το πάντιμον και μεγαλοπρεπές όνομά σου του Πατρός και του Υιού και του Αγίου Πνεύματος νύν και αεί και εις τους αιώνας των αιώνων.
Αμήν.
Και έστε τα ελέη του μεγάλου Θεού και σωτήρος ημών Ιησού Χριστού με τα πάντων ημών
και με τα του Πνεύματος σου.
Πάντων των Αγίων μνημονεύσαντε έτη και έτη εν ειρήνη του Κυρίου δεηθώμε υπέρ των προσκομισθέντων και αγιασθέντων τιμίων δώρων του Κυρίου δεηθώμε. Όπως ο φιλάνθρωπος Θεών ημών ο προσδεξάμενος αυτά εις το Άγιον και υπερουράνιον και νοερών αυτού θυσιαστήριον, εις ως μην ευωδίας πνευματικής, αντικαταπέμψει ημίν την Θείαν Χάριν και την δωρεάν του Αγίου Πνεύματος δεηθώμεν. Υπερτουρίστηνε ημάς από πάσης θλίψεως, οργής κινδύνου και ανάγκης του Κυρίου δεηθώμεν. Αντιλαβούς όσων ελέησον και διαφύλαξον ημάς ο Θεός της η χάρητη. Την ημέραν πάσαν τελείαν Αγίαν, ειρηνικήν και αναμάρτητον παρά του Κυρίου ετησόμεθα. Άγγελων ειρήνης πιστών οδηγών, φύλακα των ψυχών και των σωμάτων ημών παρά του Κυρίου ετησόμεθα. Συγγνώμη και άφεση των αμαρτιών και των πλημελημάτων ημών παρά του Κυρίου ετησόμεθα. Τα καλά και συμφέροντα τις ψυχές ημών και ειρήνη το κόσμο παρά του Κυρίου ετησόμεθα. Των υπόλοιπων χρόνων της ζωής ημών εν ειρήνη και μετανία εκτελέσε παρά του Κυρίου ετησόμεθα. Χριστιανάτα τέλη της ζωής ημών, ανώδυναν επέσχυντα ειρηνικά και καλήν απολογίαν, την επί του φοβερού βήματος του Χριστού ετησόμεθα. Την ενότητα της πίστεως και την κοινωνίαν του Αγίου Πνεύματος ετησάμενη, εαυτούς και αλλήλους και πάσαν την ζωή ημών, Χριστό το Θεό παραθώμεθα.
Ο Θεός ημών, ο Θεός του σώζει. Τι μας δίδαξον ευχαριστήν και αξίως υπέρ των ευεργεσιών σου, ον επίησας και ποιείς με τιμών. Σύ ο Θεός ημών, ο προσδεξάμενος τα δώρα ταύτα, καθάρισον ημάς από παντός μολυσμού σαρκός και πνεύματος και δίδαξον επιτελήν αγιοσύνη εν φόβο σου ή να εγκαθαρώ το μαρτυρίο της συνειδήσεως ημών. Υποδεχόμενη την μερίδα των αγιασμάτων σου, ενωθόμεν το Αγίο Σώματι και Αίματι του Χριστού σου και υποδεξάμενη αυτά αξίως σχόμεν των Χριστών κατοικούντα εν τες καρδίες ημών και γενόμεθα ναός του Αγίου σου Πνεύματος, νέο Θεός ημών και μηδένα ημών ένοχον ποιήσεις των φρικτών σου τούτων και ουρανίων μυστηρίων. Μηδέα στενή ψυχή και σώματι εκ του αναξίως αυτών μεταλαμβάνει, αλλά δώσει μη μέχρι της εσχάτης ημών αναπνοής. Αξίως υποδέχεστε την μερίδα των αγιασμάτων σου, εις εφόδιον ζωής αιωνίου, εις απολογίαν ευπρόσδεκτον, την επί του φοβερού βήματος του Χριστού σου, όπως αν και εμείς, με τα πάντων των Αγίων, των απαιών οσοι ευαρεστησάντων, γενόμεθα μέτοχοι των αιωνίων σου αγαθών, ονητήμασας της αγαπώς.